these poems and poetry and songs about God, His greatness in our life. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings in our lives and the opportunity that we have to be able to study your word together. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, and I pray that you would work in our lives, that we would not only be a hearer of your word, but a doer also. I pray that we would, because of the message, because of your word and your spirit that works in us, I pray that we would be changed. I pray that you'd help us be different today. And we're grateful for the opportunity again to preach, and I pray that you'd strengthen my voice, and I pray you'd give me the words to say as I preach your word this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to notice a phrase here in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And the title of my message this morning is The Prosperity of a Christian. Now, I know that my title this morning may sound like one of those prosperity gospel messages that you hear in those mega churches around America, the name it and claim it kind of church. But don't be mad or disappointed. It is not one of those. It is very far, actually, from that ideology. I do not know how God wants to prosper you in your life today, but I do know from the Bible that God does want you to prosper. In fact, God wants you to prosper in everything in your life. In verse number 3, the word "whatsoever" teaches us that very truth, that God wants us to prosper in everything in our life. Psalm 35 in verse 27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Now, whatever you need prosperity in, whether it is a business that you own, a job you have, whether it's being a mom or a dad, whether it's being a spouse, working at a hospital, being a nurse, a doctor, going to school, working in a factory, or working at home, whatever you can think of, I know from the Bible that God wants you to prosper today. The name it and claim it crowd would teach you that if you're not rich and you're not healthy, then you cannot be right with God. But I'm here to tell you that that is not found in the Bible. It's not found in the Bible. Paul knew what it was like to abound, to have all, and he knew what it was like to have nothing. And yet he followed the will of God for his life. Now, don't get me wrong, money can be a wonderful blessing. And you need money to live a life, but you don't need money to build a life. There are lots of people in the Bible who actually were very wealthy. And the difference is, though they had money, money didn't have them. And that's a big difference. Jesus told us in Luke chapter 16 in verse number 9, he says that we're to make friends of the unrighteous mammon. Now, he taught us to use our money for eternal things. And God tells us that we are to make friends of money and not lovers of money, and that's the key. See, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The root of this desire for wealth and money and fame and popularity becomes the source of all kinds of evil things. And people have behaved themselves in very ungodly ways when money becomes involved. Paul also warns us against the pursuit of money. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, he says, "But they that will be rich." Now, it's not saying that they are rich, but their pursuit is riches. They will be rich. That's their heart's desire. And the Bible says they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. These are, again, not rich people. These are people who desire to be rich. It becomes the very pursuit of their life. And this pursuit causes many temptations and many snares. Now, I believe, this is my own personal opinion, you could take it or leave it, but I believe that the devil doesn't always take things away like he did the man in the Bible, Job. But sometimes he can add things in our life if he knows he'll take us away from God, if he knows he'll pull us away from the Lord. You know, God told the children of Israel that one day they would come into a land where they didn't have to labor, that they could enjoy the benefits of the land. They could enjoy the vineyards that they didn't have to plant. They could enjoy the buildings that they didn't have to build. But then God said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 11, he said, "Be careful lest you forget God." And it's easy to forget God when we have it so good. We can get caught up in making a living that we forget about church, we forget about the Bible, we forget about prayer, we forget about the blesser. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 20, the Bible says he's standing outside of the church and he's knocking on the door. And some commentaries believe that Jesus is talking to an unsaved church. But yet as we read the Bible and study it together, we understand that Jesus said who he loves, he chastens and rebukes. And we know from the book of Hebrews that it is a Christian whom he chastens and rebukes. And so I would suggest to you that this is indeed a saved church, but the problem is they're acting like an unsaved church. And they're living their life and they're forgetting about God. And God is outside and he's knocking on the door. And he's saying, "I want to come in and be a part of that worship." So busy that Jesus is forgotten. Now, prosperity, when we think of that word prosperity, we often think about money, we often think about wealth, we often think about success. But actually, prosperity is bigger than just money and blessings that we hold in our hand. I want to kind of give you a comparison scripture here to give you an idea and a context of how to build out, how I'm going to build out this message. Can we turn to Isaiah chapter 55 in our Bibles together? Isaiah chapter 55. And look what the Bible says here about the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 55. And notice the scripture here in verse number 11. Isaiah 55 and verse number 11. The Bible is in context talking about the rain and the snow and the purpose of these things. You know, we don't like snow, but snow has purpose. And God had created snow on purpose for a purpose. And rain has a purpose. And God is talking about purpose here. He's talking about the snow and his purpose, the rain and his purpose. And then he compares the purpose of the rain and the snow with the Bible, his word. And he says in verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Now, I think that gives us some context here of what the prosperity of a Christian looks like. God's word will prosper in God's purpose. The Bible says it will never return void. Now, don't misunderstand me. God's word can be rejected, God's word can be denied, and God's word can be ignored. But the issue is never with the word of God. The word of God always accomplishes its purpose. We have to respond correctly to the Bible. Now, prosperity in our life is the fulfillment and the purpose of God in our life. It is indeed a life of significance, a life that makes a difference. We don't want to just exist on this life, on this earth. We want to have a life that pleases God. I hope that you want to have a life that pleases God. And so we find in this passage of Scripture that the Bible says in Psalm 1, if we want to have prosperity, if we want to have a happy life, a blessed life, a satisfied life, a fulfilled life, then Psalm chapter 1 is the answer to that. If you want to have a fulfilled life in all that you do, true fulfillment and satisfaction, then Psalm 1 is the answer to that. Let's go through it together, can we? Number one, I want us to think about the avoidance of the ungodly. The avoidance of the ungodly. Now, everyone has advice for you. Everyone has advice for you. Go to a bookstore and you'll find a book on almost any subject, any topic. People are quick to give their opinion. They get angry when you give their opinion, you give your opinion. And we can get lost in following all of the paths that we have around us, and we quickly become overwhelmed. But how can we truly be happy as a Christian? How can we be fulfilled and prosper? Well, look what the Bible says in verse 1. It says, blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Number one, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, this is not my message. This is not my opinion. This is what God says. God says, Christian, if you want to have a fulfilled life, then don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, those who oppose God, those who are against God. Now, walking here speaks of movement. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that. We're walking, we're moving in a direction. And so I would say that this idea of walking in the counsel of the ungodly speaks of decisions that we make and the direction of our life. And of course, our direction always determines, our decisions always determine our direction. And that direction leads us always to a destination. And the Bible says that these decisions that we are always making in our life, and we're constantly making decisions, they're always being influenced. We are constantly taking in information. Now, ungodly counsel, of course, can come from anywhere. It can be as subtle as a hit song on the radio, or it could be a lifestyle on a television show. It could be a commercial's appeal in our life. It could be an ungodly friend. But the Bible says you'll never have a fulfilled life as a Christian if you continue to think and to follow the way of ungodly people. Now look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 16. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We think differently as a Christian than the world thinks. I mean, think about this. Even in the business world, the world says you need to steal, you need to cheat, you need to be, you know, you need to try to cut corners, all of these things. You got to try to be number one. And it doesn't matter how you get to the top, as long as you get to the top. And then we look at what the Bible says, and the Bible says you got to be honest, you got to be truthful, you got to be meek. And so we understand quickly that the advice of the world and the direction of the world is a lot different than the direction and advice of the Bible. My dad never really had a lot of money growing up. He always worked really hard. He was a carpenter by trade, and he loved working with his hands. He made a lot of really nice things. But normally he would give all of those things away. And one day there was a man who was talking to my dad, and he said, Allie, he says, the reason why you're always broke, I'm just trying to give you some advice now, the reason why you're always broke is because you always give everything away. You never sell anything. Now, it's probably good business advice. You're not going to go very far in business if you don't, you know, sell and buy and sell and make gain. That's what the Bible says, and that's how business works. We understand that. But my dad was never in it for money. He just cared about people and loved people and wanted to be a blessing. And I know this, that when my dad died at his funeral, I had so many people come up to me and tell me how much of a blessing my dad was and the influence that my dad had made on their life. I'm saying don't listen to the counsel of those who hate God. Don't listen to the counsel of those who hate the Word of God. I mean, we have to be wise and we need to be prudent, but we also have to be biblical. And so the Bible says in this scripture here, it says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And then it says here, don't stand in the way of sinners. Happy is the one that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Don't align your life with the ungodly. Now, if walking speaks of your decisions and your direction, then I would say standing speaks of your determination. Standing put in an ungodly perspective is a dangerous thing for a Christian. And the Bible is clear that you cannot be friends with the world and friends with God. Now, I'm going to make a bold statement here this morning, and I hope you'll stick with me. But understand this, the seeker-sensitive movement is absolutely wrong. It is absolutely incorrect. Now, if you don't understand what the seeker-sensitive movement is, they would say instead of, in order to reach the world, you have to be like the world. If you're going to reach the world, then you have to act like the world. And we shouldn't be seeker-sensitive, by the way. We should be spirit-sensitive. We should be sensitive to what the Spirit leads us to do. But the world doesn't need more of the world. Understand that. They need to see a Christian that fears God. They need to see a Christian who loves God. They need to see a Christian who lives for God. You know, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'll give you some biblical context here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, when here's a young preacher that comes into a church and people weren't listening to Timothy, they weren't respecting Timothy. And Paul told Timothy, listen, when they don't listen to you and they don't respect you, then he says, be an example unto them. And that's what the world needs to see today. They need to see the light of the Word of God shining through us. They need to see Christ in us. We're not to live like the world. We are to live above the world. We are to live by the Word of God. And so we cannot listen to the counsel of the ungodly. We cannot stand in the way of sinners, but we also cannot sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, the scorner is the one that mocks God, and the scorner is the one that mocks the Bible. And if walking speaks of direction and standing speaks of determination, then to sit down means that we have deprived ourselves from a testimony. To sit down at the seat of the scornful is to lose a lot in the Christian life. I say this, to sit down at the seat of the scornful is to hide your light under a bushel. It's salt that no longer is salty. You know, Peter, to convince those around him that he was not a disciple, that he was not a follower of Jesus, what did Peter do? He started to speak like them. He hid his light. He became a scorner of all that God stood for. And the Bible teaches us when we sit with the scorner, we scorn God by the life that we live, by losing our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot prosper in the purpose that God has for us if we decide that we're going to act like the world and we're going to mimic the world. You know what salt does? Jesus said, you're the salt of the world. You know what salt does? Salt creates a thirst. It creates a thirst for God. People should see your life, and they should want what you have. Light reveals. Salt preserves this world from wickedness. But salt that is not salty, Jesus said, it is useless. It is void. And to sit down at the seat of the scornful is to lose our testimony. So what does Psalm 1 teach us? Well, there's not only avoidance of the ungodly, there's also adjusting our life to the Word of God. Number two, note the desire of one that prospers here. The Bible says his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, where does his counsel come from? It doesn't come from the ungodly around him. His counsel comes from the law of the Lord. His counsel comes from the Bible. And listen, we all need Bible counsel. We all need instruction from the Bible. That's why it's important to be in church. That's why it's important to bring our families to church and our children to church, to hear the Bible, because we all need Bible counsel. And we find in this passage of Scripture what the Bible instructs us here. We see the procedure here. It says, thy delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, there's an attitude here. This individual is not just in church or not just reading the Bible to know, but to grow. He's not just reading the Bible or in church for information. He's there to be transformed. He wants to know what God thinks. He wants to know what God says. He wants to know what God commands for his life because he wants to be different. And this individual doesn't just hear the Bible, but he continues in the Bible. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's go to the book of James together and notice what the scriptures say here in James chapter 1 and verse 25. James chapter 1 and verse 25. James chapter 1 and verse 25. The Bible says this in verse 25, and whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, this is speaking of God's word here, and the Bible says, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Look at this. This man, this is the same text. This is the same, the Bible never contradicts. This is Proverbs 1 now. This man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be fulfilled and happy in your life, then don't just read the Bible. Don't just study the Bible. Live the Bible for your life. Continue, the Bible says, therein. The Bible impacts our life. And this individual here that delights in the Bible, no, they allow the Bible to impact how they act. They allow the Bible to impact how they react. They let the Bible counsel them in what to say and how to do business and how to parent and how to act toward their spouse. But the Bible also says that they meditate on the Bible. The word there, meditate, I know our culture today, our world has destroyed that word. It's a wonderful word. It doesn't mean to empty your mind. It means to fill your mind with the Bible. And the Bible says here that they are meditating on the Bible. They're thinking about the Bible. They fill their hearts and their mind with the Word of God. And when we fill our minds with the Word of God, it positively affects us and impacts our life. They take the truth of the Bible to them to work every day. They take the truth of the Bible with them to school every day. Wherever they go and whatever they do, they love the Bible, they live the Bible, and they illuminate the Bible in their life. This is the happy man, the happy Christian, the blessed Christian. But not only do we notice this procedure, but notice how they get there, but notice also the product here. The product is wonderful. Picture a tree planted by the rivers of water. And this tree is an evergreen tree. The Bible says it's nourished and refreshed. It's firm in what it believes. It finds its nourishment from God. That's what Paul said, by the way, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He's speaking about the will of God in his life, abounding and being abased, having and not having. He says, I can do all things through Christ because he strengthens me. He pours his life into me. He nourishes me because I'm a tree planted by the rivers of water. And I'm blessed. I'm happy. And God is prospering me in my life. And so the Bible says also that this tree also bears fruit. And notice here it bears fruit at the right time. It spiritually impacts people in their lives. They spiritually influence people. They bless people. And I'm talking about our children. I'm talking about our spouse. I'm talking about a husband, a wife. I'm talking about a coworker, a family member. Everything that we do, we find that purpose and that fulfillment in our life as we live the Bible. We understand here that we are always missionaries. We are always fulfilling the mission of God as he lives through us. Now we see number 3, the abandonment of the ungodly. Now, look what the Bible says in verse 4 here. This is not a comparison, by the way. This is a contrast. You look at a Christian who loves the Bible and lives the Bible and illuminates the Bible. They are blessed in all their deeds. They are prospering. They are fulfilled in their life. Whether they have or whether they have not, it doesn't matter. They're living the will of God for their life, and they find satisfaction in that. But wait a minute, there's a contrast. The ungodly individual, that's not so. That's not so. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly, they can have prosperity as far as the word prosperity is in the world. I mean, they can have money, they can have fame, they can have popularity. But all of these things at its source are absolutely empty. They have no fulfillment. They have no meaning. Jim Carrey, he's a Canadian famous actor. He was quoted by saying, "I wish that everyone could become rich and famous so that they would realize that it's not the answer." That is not the answer. And so prosperity as far as wealth and prosperity as far as everyone knowing your name and popularity, that doesn't bring true fulfillment in your life. That's not what God is saying. You're going to prosper. The Bible says that their influence is temporal. The people may know their name on earth, but what about eternity? Well, look what the Bible says. They are like the chaff that is blown away. Their life is filled with no substance, no meaning, no purpose, no real fulfillment. You know, Solomon, read the book of Ecclesiastes. We don't have time to study that as well, but you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon set out to find that true meaning, that true purpose. And Solomon, he looked at relationships, he looked at wealth, he looked at buildings and cities, he looked at popularity, he looked at all of those things. And at the end of it all, in trying to find fulfillment in all of those things, he said, "Vanity of vanities." All of these things are empty. They are the very bottom of the bucket when it comes to purpose. There is no fulfillment there. There's no true meaning in our life in these things. People love their life for just existence. And we kind of go through this motion in our life as you think of the ungodly. Someone said that they dig a hole to make some money, to get the strength to dig a hole. And they dig a hole to get some money, to get the strength to dig the hole. And that's what their life is every single day. They just go to work to make some money, to get some strength, some food, to get some strength to dig that hole again. And that's all that they find. No real purpose in that. No real fulfillment in that. No eternal value at all. And God is saying, listen, the ungodly, their influence is nothing. No eternal influence at all. Luke chapter 12 and verse 21, the Bible says this, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." If we follow the phrase in Luke chapter 12 verse 21, like good Bible students, and we understand the context of what Jesus is saying, Jesus is talking about the rich man and the foolish man who lived his life for this world, who built bigger barns, and at the end of it, he lost his own soul. And God said, "You are foolish." And then he looks at his disciples and says, "By the way, you're also foolish if you just live for this life. You're also foolish if this is all that it's about. If you are not living for eternity, for something greater, the greatest value today of your life is your soul. And your soul lives forever. In fact, your soul is worth more than anything in this world could ever offer. All the money in the world put together is not worth your soul. The Bible says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And then Jesus asks us this profound question. He said, "What will you give in exchange for your soul? For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And how many people today have exchanged their soul for money and success and for popularity and for people to know their name, and they have lost their own soul? Do you know Christ today? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you concerned about it? Listen, Jesus died for you so that you could have eternal life. He cares so much about your soul that he gave himself so that you can be saved. I hope you'll come to Jesus today and find true fulfillment and purpose for your life. But the Bible also says that the ungodly cannot please God. There is nothing that they can do in their own power and strength to repair that relationship with their Creator. Therefore, verse 5, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The idea there to stand is to be confident, is to stand in the judgment and to be confident. John says in 1 John 2, verse 28, that we can have confidence at his coming. You say, how can we be confident to stand before a holy God? It is to abide in Jesus Christ, because there's nothing good in me. The only thing good that you ever see in my life is Christ living through me. And to be in Christ is to be redeemed, to be bought back, to be saved. Abiding in Jesus makes us righteous before God. Yes, we're still sinners, but we're forgiven sinners, and we're on our way to heaven. And so we can be confident. But the ungodly, they have no confidence. And, you know, I'm not naive to not understand that unsaved people can be nice people. Unsaved people, ungodly people, they can be kind and they can be gentle and they can care for their family. I know lots of people who don't know Christ as their Savior, but they provide for their family. In fact, the Bible says if a Christian doesn't provide for his family, and not only financially but also spiritually, he's worse than an infidel, the Bible says. And so ungodly people, they can be good people. I mean, from another sinner's perspective, they can be a good people. But there is something that an ungodly person cannot do. No matter how hard they try, no matter what they do, an ungodly person cannot please God. He cannot please God. Paul said this in Romans 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It doesn't matter how religious you are. It doesn't matter how many people you help. If you don't know Christ, you cannot please God. There's nothing you can do to get God's attention. And so Jesus said in John 15, he teaches us that he is the vine and we are the branches, that without him, we can do nothing. It's Christ that makes the difference. And then we see also the ungodly, their destination is eternal. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. See, one day, the ungodly will stand before God. They'll stand before God at that great white throne. And it's not going to matter how much success in the world they've had. It's not going to matter who their family is. It's not going to matter how much money is in their bank account. It's not going to matter how many people know their name. These things just don't matter in light of eternity. What matters today is, are you right with God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I think all of us here this morning want to make a life that makes a difference. And I believe from the scripture that God wants you to prosper today. He truly does. He wants you to be successful. God wants you to truly be happy. He wants you to truly be satisfied. And if you're going to accomplish that as a Christian today, if you're going to influence your family for God, if you're going to make a difference in the life of your coworkers, then you can't follow the pathway of the world. You can't follow the direction of the world, because it's been done and it doesn't work. It won't make you happy. You have to follow God's way for your life today. You got to love his word, you got to live his word, and you got to illuminate his word in your life. Paul said this in Philippians 2:16. He said, hold forth the word of life. And God help us today as Christians to hold forth the word of life, to find true prosperity today, to bless others with our life and to lead souls to Jesus. The hymn writer put it this way, and I'll be done. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love lay hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. He says, channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Would you be a channel of blessing today? Would you find prosperity in all that you say and all that you do? God help us today. Psalm 1 is the answer. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word.